You know what I want to see changed? I want to see the culture changed. I want to see society changed. How many believes that's possible? How many believes we've accepted a lie and we believed for too long that things have to be the way they are? I refuse to accept that, and as your pastor, if anybody wants to get on board with me, I refuse to accept that, and I'm just going to go on record and saying we can change the culture that is around us. Did somebody come into agreement? You can change the culture. It's in your home. I'll tell you what, I haven't even read my text yet, but I just feel the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me right now. You can change what you watch on TV. That's up to you. You can change what you look at on your computer. You can change what you speak to your children. Amen? It's all about a change of mindset. I don't know if you guys have realized yet and have grasped the fact that I'm passionate about what I'm speaking. Amen. It's okay. You know, it's one thing to come to church and just to feel good, but it's another thing to come to church and leave changed. Amen. And I'm so tired of just status quo. I'm so tired of, well, bless God, that's just the way they are. Or bless God, that's just the way mountain people are. And we get, and I'm way ahead of myself, I know, but we get stereotyped and people look at us as dumb redneck hillbillies. I'm tired of that. I don't know if anybody else, I hate that, don't you guys? I hate the fact that we have to accept the people living in poverty. Hey, you can get off welfare if you want to get off welfare. Oh, come on, help me preach now. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Woo, y'all got to pray for me. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to preach a Christmas message. Somebody said, how can you get change out of a Christmas message, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. I ain't even read a text. I'm about to blow up. You might as well get ready, man. I'm just going to throw you this mic. I've carried this for days. Matthew chapter 2. So are you ready for it? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born. Oh, that's a mouthful in itself, ain't it? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born? Everybody say born. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star. Everybody say his star. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Here's the fulfillment here of Micah 5 and 2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. This is the house of bread. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. I have written in my Bible next to that verse a lie. That's a lie. Herod was a liar. Herod represents an antichrist spirit, and that spirit will lie to you. Oh, I feel the preacher come. The spirit of antichrist. This was prevalent when Herod was king. You see, the thing is there's things that want you to make that thing king in your life instead of making Jesus king. Herod didn't want another king. Amen? So he tells a lie and says, let me know when you find him so I can go and worship him. You know what he really wanted to do? He really wanted to kill him. And I'll share that in a moment. Let's go on. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. We found him, bring me word again, I may come and worship him. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verses 11 and 12, this is where we're really going to camp out here in just a few minutes. And then when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. Can you guys track with me up here? It's out. Okay. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Everybody say Saul. Say it one more time. S-A-W, Saul. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. I want to share with you this morning, when you see the king, you will return another way. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you for this season. We thank you for this time of year. We thank you that we can celebrate the birth of our dear Savior. Thank you that you sent him to die for our sins that we might be free. And as they sang earlier, your mercy endures forever. Now we speak, Father, and we bless your word, and we ask that you anoint it and season it. Let it speak to us. Let it change us. Let it make us into who you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone in the room says, amen. The story of the wise men. It's important for you to know, and these are things, some of these things, that the truths that we glean from these passages of Scripture are not worthy of debate, you know, and sometimes people get hung up on menial things. But just so you know, and it's important, Ernie, in one sense, that the wise men did not show up the night Jesus was born. I know we do our nativity. Thank you, Wanda. We do our nativity scenes, and we have the shepherds and the. And I'm not going to criticize you if you've got one in your yard. It's not a big deal. But as Pastor Helton said, the shepherds were there the first night, and they came and the angels were glorifying God. But the wise men came a little bit later, and we're gonna show you how the Scripture teaches us that. But the most important thing is we need to know who they were, what happened when they got there, and what happened when they left. Amen. They were called magi. The word magi means wise men. They were known. You know what they were known as? They were known as astronomers, astrologers. They study and don't freak out here, but you know, and your associate pastor mentioned this a few weeks ago, but you know, everything that lines up in the heavens, God is speaking to his people, and the enemy distorts these things when you talk about the signs of the zodiac and people reading their horoscope. Listen, that's all. There's 12 signs of the zodiac, and all of these things actually. Let me just say this. The stars are aligning. Amen. And on this particular night, the stars aligned. And these astrologers, these astronomers, these wise men, if you will. And we always assume that there were three. But the Bible don't really tell us there were three. We assume there were three because of the gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It doesn't really tell us how many they were. But I want you to notice in verse 2, they said, saying, They came from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born? Everybody say, where is he? Now notice they didn't ask a question, has a king been born here? Oh man. You know, listen, some people got to get revelation that a king has been born. Oh, hallelujah. There's some people that's, even people that's running around and going to church and doing all these things, and they're still looking for a king. And they're still wondering, has a king really been born? But notice these wise men didn't say, has a king been born tonight? They said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? In other words, listen folks, you gotta understand, the day he was born, he was king of the Jews. And it doesn't matter what the world makes him out to be. I know there's a lot of criticism and there's a lot of people coming against Jesus today. But I'm gonna tell you something, regardless of what the world says, he was born king, he is king, he's always king. In fact, he is the king of kings. He's not just a king, but he's the king of kings. I said he's the king. And his name is Jesus. Oh, somebody needs to lift him up in here this morning. I said he's the king. He's the king of the ages. He's more than a man. He's more than a prophet. A lot of religion says he was just a good man and he was a prophet. But I'm here to tell you that who the Magi came to look for that night was the King of the ages, the Savior of the world, the Messiah that was to be born of a virgin, that was to take the throne of David. Can somebody say amen? The one out of the house of Jacob. Ooh, a branch. A root of David, a branch of Jesse, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And his name is, he's doctor, he's lawyer, he's wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. I'm just going to go ahead and preach this morning. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my peace. He's my doctor. He's my lawyer. He's my friend. He's my provider. He's everything I have need. He's my joy. He's my peace. In a world that's full of turmoil and trouble, I'm just going to tell you, Curtis, I don't know how anybody makes it without him. How do you make it in this world without Jesus? Hallelujah. Numbers, they said, where is he? How did they know they were looking for? Well, how did they know this was what they were looking for? Numbers 24, they said, our screen's out. But I wish you could see this first. Numbers 24, 17. Numbers 24, 17. Prophecy says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. Listen to what it says. It says, there shall come forth a star. Everybody say star. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And he shall smite through the corners of Moab and break down all the sons of tumult. This star appears in the sky as an announcement of his birth. These guys had been looking for this star. They had been looking for a sign that Jesus, the Messiah, was born. And then they see this star, so they load up the gifts and they head out to Jerusalem following this star. Now, this star, it means brightness. You know what? I don't have time to go into all of it because there's a point I want to get to here that's important for us in just a second. But you understand, it speaks of the Shekinah glory of God. The same thing that the Israelites followed. Oh, y'all got to get this. In the Old Testament, and that glory of God, that radiance, Randy, that showed up in the Holy of Holies. This wasn't just a five-point star that you see that, you know, we put on top of our Christmas tree. This was the glory and the radiance and the power of God. And it was drawing them to the king. Are you hearing me this morning? It was drawing them to the king. Is anybody in here? Somebody say amen. All right. It was a visible manifestation of God's presence, just like in the Old Testament. Just like as there was light before the stars were made on the fourth day, this was a manifestation of the glory of God. And it glowed and radiated in the sky, showing them. So they knew this prophetic word, so they go after this star and they find the child. Are you with me? I want you to look at verse 11. They found the child and they worshiped him. And in Genesis 49:10 tells us also, listen to this verse, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is symbolic of the Messiah. Amen. Now, look at verse 11. I want you to see this. Somebody say amen. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Everybody say Saul. This word here, and you got to get this. This word is more than just seeing with the visible eye. It's a divine revelation. It's used, in fact, it was used 4 times in our text. And it's a divine revelation, Elder, of it's, you know what it is? They had a divine revelation that this was a king, hear me now, this was a king whose kingdom was not of this world. This wasn't a normal king. His kingdom was not, somebody say, we need a revelation. We got to see who he is. Oh, preacher, I've been in church a long time. I've been in church all my life. Do you realize that Jesus looked at Philip and said, Philip, have you been with me all this time? You still don't know me. If we get a revelation of who he is, we won't go back to the same dysfunction that we've dealt with for years. I told you I was going to preach change. Somebody needs to help me preach this morning. And this is the kind of message that the enemy don't want to preach, because we're talking about change. We're talking about you change. We're talking about your soulless realm change. We're talking about your mind changing. We're talking about those patterns of sin. Well, somebody help me this morning. Those patterns of sin that you have repeatedly done for years and years and years. I'm talking about pride getting out of your life. I'm talking about envy getting out of your life. I'm talking about greed getting out of your life. I'm talking about lust. And all this junk getting out of our... Can somebody help me preach this morning? When we see him, we get a divine revelation of who he is. It's going to change you. I said it's going to change you. How many wants change? If you want change, say amen. The word Saul means to know, or to understand. It's a revelation of who he is. Now look at verse 12. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Everybody say another way. When you get revelation of who he is, you'll go back another way. Amen? You know what, Randy, I was looked at it, and it's going to be hard to explain this, but the meaning of the word said the same but different. So, what are you saying, Pastor? You, the same person, can get in your car and drive back to the same house on the same road, but yeah, you left and you went back another way. I'll chew on that. Oh, can I preach? You came to church fussing with your wife, but you went back home praising God. You came to church, the devil. Oh, help me now. But you went back home another way. You got to understand that the wise men, when they saw him, they departed. They went back to their own country. But they went back another way. And you got to understand that the scripture says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when we see that way, and it's not man's way, oh glory, it's not man's way, but it's God's way. What does God want for my life? You know what? I've repented for days now. I said, Lord, help me not to want to do things my way, but to surrender to you and do things your way. And when I leave here, I want to go back to the house another way. I want the junk out of my life. I want anything that's hindering me, any distraction. How many knows that God wants to pour out revival on Bell County, Kentucky? How many knows that God's not going to pour out revival until we get some junk out of our lives? Change me. Somebody say, change me, Lord. This is good holiness preaching. You know what? You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I like that. That's like a high five, Judy. That God should show forth, that we should show forth the praises of him who's brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's time to preach holiness again. And I'm not talking about what you wear. You know, we heard a lot of holiness preaching growing up, but the holiness preaching growing up just told us what to wear, but it didn't tell us how to fix our lives. Amen. You know what? Now, I'll preach this. You know, we need to be modest in our outward appearance, but we need to be changed on the inside. Somebody's got to help me this morning. It don't do you a bit of good. Oh, this is a Christmas message, but it'll change you. Oh, Jesus. Man, I feel something good coming. Another way, it was important for them to go back to their own country, but not the same way they came. God wants us to see the King of the kingdom. And when we see him, we will not return the same way we came. A lot of people come to church, and all we see is a song. All we see is a person. All we see is music. All we see is a preacher. All we see is emotionalism. And I told you a couple weeks ago, we can cry. And how many's seen people cry right in front of you? And I've changed. And they haven't changed. He's ever seen no crying drunk. You know, the drunk get grunt. We've seen a bunch of them, didn't we, Rick, back in our day? Seen crying drunks, fighting drunks, smallest guy in the crowd. I always want to fight. Get drunk, want to fight. Crying drunks, oh, I'll never do that again. Oh, can I just preach the truth? Go out on their wife, beg and cry, and you're lying. Come on now. This is good preaching, ain't it? This will help us. This will change us. It's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not about emotionalism. Thank God. You know, the Spirit of the Lord works on our emotions, and it affects our emotions. You know, I love to laugh. I love to cry. I love to do both at the same time. I love to dance. I love to jump and all these things. And the Spirit of the Lord affects our emotions. But what happens is when our feet hits the floor on Monday morning, is there change? Are we different? Did we really get a revelation of who he is? And are we going back another way? Are we just playing games? Are we just actors? Are we, you know what a hypocrite is? Boy, I'm pulling out all the stops. None of this is in my notes. I'm just letting the Lord speak to us. You know what a hypocrite is? You go study the word hypocrite. It's an actor. It's an actor. And we put on this, and now I'm going to preach you something that'll help you right here. We put on this facade, and we act like everything's okay. Oh, I'm good. Everything's good. Oh, you know, we come to church, and we lift our hands, and everything's good. When you are a mess, you're a wreck. And I'm not just talking about sin in your life. I'm talking about you're just messed up. You're depressed. You're oppressed. You're walking in fear. You're walking in anxiety. And we put on this facade. And we come in and we worship and we cry and everything else. But when we leave here, I'm talking about we need to get a glimpse of who Jesus is. And when we really see the King, it's going to change who we are on the inside. And it's not going to just be Jesus called them whited sepulchers. They clean up the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. Are y'all with me? Do you love me? Daniel, come and help me. All right, change. Everybody say change. I want to use this illustration with you. We're good, aren't we? Are we okay? How many has computers? How many has a word processor? How many knows how to use a word processor? Best thing I ever did in high school. My senior year, we're talking about 1980. Okay, here's I'm gonna tell my age. How many remembers electric typewriters? What's a word processor? You young people, what's Microsoft Word? Oh, can I preach? It's good, ain't it? What's Apple and what's iPhone and what's iPod and what's PlayStation and what's Xbox? And hey, we used to get out and kick the can and swim in the Cumberland River and fish, and mom said they'd have to come to the riverbank and get us to come home and eat and play ball and get up a football game with the next community up and Mullis to play Dixietown, and we'd have two or three with broke legs and everything. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. Tackle football, no pads. Tackle football, no pads, in the dirt and the rocks. And had one friend of mine who broke his leg in five places. I'm telling you the truth. But we got out of the house. Kids, I love you. You got to get off them games. We're raising up a generation that don't know how to. They don't know how to socialize. We can't talk to anybody out anymore. I'm just. We can't talk to anybody without sending them a text message. You know, it's you can't look at somebody in the face. Now I use text messages, and a lot of y'all sitting there saying, "Now, Pastor, you text us all." I do, and it helps us. And we got meetings and stuff, and I use that. But we got to learn. You know, we're losing the ability to socialize with people and to be people and to talk to people. Listen, you know what? I'm waiting for us to start texting Jesus. How'd I get here? Help me. How'd I get here, Elder? All right, I know how I got here. Microsoft Word. A word processor. How many can use a word processor? I know I'm back where I started, in high school. My senior year, I needed one credit to fill my schedule. The counselor said, "Won't you take typing?" I'm an athlete. I play ball. You know, I made the all-tournament team. Just so you know. Come on, Rick, help me out, man. You're the only one who remembers it. You know what? Listen, I ran into a guy this week. I finally ran into a guy that was there in the great Redbird Pineville fight. He was sitting on the bench. He played for Pineville. And I mentioned that. We were talking about where I was from and stuff, and I mentioned that. And he told me the guy's name. He said, "I was sitting on the bench right next to the bleachers or next to the dressing room." He said, "I just got up and walked in the dressing room." He said, "I wouldn't fight that much." I said, "My brother was the main ones on the floor." He said, "Yeah, I remember him." Said he had long hair. Yeah, he described it to a T. He was there. The next year, he said, "We came to Redbird." He said, "We brought the county sheriff, the deputies." He said, "We brought everybody with us." He said, "We thought y'all was going to get us over there and beat us to death." He said, "They got back to RJ at Eastover. At RJ, there was a rock slide. And they thought we'd block the road. And they panicked out. They saw they blocked the road on us. They put rocks in the road. And they came to Redbird, had Gary Ferguson, which is our new jailer here in Bell County. And Gary was good. Gary could shoot. And we still beat him that year. Because I guess they thought we was going to get him over there and just beat him up. But anyway, typing. I'll get there in a minute, won't I? I've meddled today more than I've ever meddled in my life. We're going somewhere, though. Who wants to go somewhere? And who wants to go back another way? He said, "Won't you take typing?" I said, "Okay, I'll do it." There was 20 people in the class, 18 girls, 2 guys. And the other guy was a nerd. Oh, you ain't right, pal. You know what? I think he just stole on me, didn't he? Good observation, Rick. But anyway, as a senior in high school in 1980, you know, I got to where I could type over 40 words a minute and actually won the type, one of the typing awards. And you have no idea. See, God's in control. God's always in control of your destiny. And to this day, you have no idea what that class did for me. I thought nothing about it. But, you know, now my job, as Tom can tell you, we have to type. And every job I've had, the last 3 jobs, you have to type a lot and you have to use word processors. So it just helped me drastically. So now, with a word processor, how many understands what default is? When you're talking about fonts, You know, and you can set up a default font. You can do a default paste to where anything you paste, hit paste it in your default font and the font you want to use. And you don't always have to change that. You set it up. Or you can go into, now I'm taking you somewhere. You can go into your word processor. You can change the font to what you want it to be. But when you go out of that thing and it goes and you go back in, it always returns to the default font. Man. So here's what the Lord said. Many feel a change while they're in church, but when they get home, they go back to their default settings. Oh, didn't we dance? Didn't we shout? Didn't we rejoice? Didn't we have a great time at church? And you know what I did? I changed my font. You know what? I even went to bold. I underlined some things and went to bold and did a whole bunch of stuff. But when I got back home, I went back to my default settings. I was the same old grouchy me. I was the same old person full of pride. I was the same old person full of lust. And I just went back. We come to church and we change some things and we go back home and we just go right back to default. And what are you preaching, Pastor? I'm preaching when you see the King, you're going to go back another way. And the changes that you get when you see the King, you're not going to go back and just change those things back to what they were. Holly, you've changed some things. You can't go back to default. Jimmy, you can't go back to default. Oh, hear me now. And there's some other people here that need to hear this message this morning. You got to change and say, this is what I'm sticking with. Are you with me? Hit me out, man. Again, music will affect your emotions and make you feel good. Your flesh feels good. It affects your mood. But your heart's not changed. You go back to the same dysfunction. You know what happens then? I just want to take my time here. You enter patterns of false repentance. It's not true repentance. I don't know about you guys, but I want to change. You don't change. You're in tears on Sunday morning, but you keep going back. And you return to the default settings of your flesh. Help us, Lord. You know what? Oftentimes we're dancing over something we've never received. Think about that. Now, I believe in speaking things by faith, but I'm talking about we're celebrating something. We are yet there. Amen? Do you love me? So until you change your default, you always go back to who you were before you came. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying change your friends if you have to. You got to change some things. Amen? You got to change the way you think. Deliver us from this wrong way of thinking, Lord. You got to have a changed mind. Everybody say a changed mind. Sometimes you got to cut some people loose. But you know, these other things, you can change all you want. You know, we do this in life. You can change your car. You can change your address. You can change the style of music you listen to. You can change your clothes. But you're the same person. When the wise men saw him, they went back another way. How many wants to go back another way? You know, and don't blame things. Listen, do you love your pastor? I'm just trying to help you. You got to stop blaming things on the past. God brought you through it. You're through it. You know, some people want to go back and blame things on what happened in the past. I heard a story about these twins. That one of them was an alcoholic and the other one wasn't. And they asked the woman, was that alcoholic? Why was an alcoholic? And he said, well, because my father was an alcoholic. And all my life I grew up watching him drink. And what alcohol did to our home, what it did to our family. And so that's who I am. That's what I am. And the other one, they asked him, why don't you drink? He said, well, because my father was an alcoholic. Are y'all following me? One of the guys drank. Amen? Because his dad did it. The other didn't drink because his dad did it. It's a change of mind. It's a mindset. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. All right, I'm about to finish here. Scripture says that Jesus, they took Jesus to Egypt. Now, how do we know that this was not the night Jesus was born? Because Herod said, when did you see the star? And they told him. So, you realize he killed, had every child killed 2 years and under. He's trying to kill Jesus. So that tells us that at this time. But then they fled to Egypt. And he came out of Egypt. Now, there's a message there because he's not gonna send you anywhere that he hasn't already been. Are you with me? God, now listen. God called his people out. Everybody say out. I'm just about done. God called his people out of Egypt, and he didn't set us free for a blessing or a church service. He set them free to become a nation of people. Oh, don't lose me just for a couple minutes. They were brought out of bondage to discover, Pastor, who they were. A nation, not an oppressed people in bondage. Have we discovered who we are in him? Something to think about, ain't it? And we're supposed to be coming out from the government of our oppressors. They came out from the government of their oppressors and the wicked one who had control of them. And to become a nation. Somebody say, change us, Lord. You know what? This is deeper than just a church service. This is deeper than just a preaching or a praise and worship. But how many knows the difference between a theocracy and a democracy? You know, God wanted to set up a theocracy. You know, not something that's man's will, but God's will. Oh, come on, somebody help me. I know I've been preaching. That's what he wanted, his will. Does anybody want this? Or am I the only one? Does anybody need this? Or am I the only one? I need to change. I need to change my way of thinking. I need to have more faith. Amen. I need to go back another way. I need to stop being negative. I need to stop believing a lie. We need to believe what thus says the word of the Lord. Amen. All right. Not man's will, but God's will. Something that don't glamorize people, but gives honor to God. Amen. Now, I'm going to try to close here. Somebody say, we need to be free. Let me know people sitting in the church need to be free. And I'm going to close here, I promise. When the children of Israel, I preached it a few weeks ago, when they got to the Red Sea and they were to cross over, they saw their enemy coming behind them. And at this point, they were being chased by their enemy. Amen? Who's ever saw the movie Roots? Remember the movie? Gosh, we're getting way back there now. How long ago was that? The 70s maybe? 30 years ago? Toby. Remember Toby? Kunta Kinte. He was running as a slave. He was free, but yet he wasn't free. He was running from his oppressors, but yet he wasn't free. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? There's people sitting in the church that you are acting like a runaway slave. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying come Monday, you're still looking at that thing that's got you in bondage and oppression. It's still chasing you. But you know what? God allowed the children of Israel to see Pharaoh drown in the sea so they would never have to fear their enemy anymore. That's why he allowed them to see. Pharaoh drowned in the sea so they would not have to be afraid of Pharaoh anymore. But a lot of us, we say we're free, but we're like Toby on that movie. We're like a runaway slave, and we're still that thing's behind us. No, you got to come to the place in your life where it no longer bothers you. It's no longer chasing you. You have buried it. You have put it behind you. You put your past behind you. You're not worried about anxiety. You're not worried about depression or oppression or fear or drug addiction or alcoholism or any of these things, because it's gone. Do we believe God's able to do that? If we don't believe God's able to do that, let's just close the building down. We'll open up a social club. All right, let's stand. God don't want you to live on the run. Are you with me? How many believes it's time to change the culture? All right, one more question. Can we change the culture if we're not changed ourselves? How can I pray for somebody to be free if I'm not free? All right, I want you to get this statement, and I promise I'm done. Do you know we have allowed our culture to determine our destiny? Meaning, amen? As I said earlier, it stereotyped us. You know, culture programs our environment. I studied this, Daniel. You know where culture comes from? And I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else, I want you to take this home with you. Culture is an agricultural term, which means that which has been planted is encouraged to grow. Culture is an agriculture term, which means that which has been planted is encouraged to grow. So things have been planted within people in this area as to who they are, and then we encourage it to grow. Amen? Let's see the King. Because when we see the King, if we came depressed, we'll go back home free. Are you with me? If we came in fear, we'll go back home in peace. If we see the King, we got to see the King. Somebody say amen. All right, Father, we just come to you this morning. Come on, Jill, you guys come get us a song, please. We want to have an altar call today and give people a chance to pray before we dismiss. If you need special prayer, we want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Help us to get a revelation of who you are. Help us to be like the wise men. They brought gifts and they saw you. And they went back another way. They went back changed. They went back living under your kingdom and not the kingdom of this world. Change our way of thinking. Change our mindsets. Help us to see you. Come on, somebody pray that prayer. God, help us to see you. Help us to get a revelation of who you are. Come on, church. Can we pray that in unison this morning? Help us to see. Oh, Jesus. Help us to see you, Lord. Help us to see who you are. Help us to see you, Lord. To get a revelation of who you are and to be changed. They're going to sing. We're going to invite you to come and pray. If you want to pray at your seat, let's have a time of prayer. If there's someone here that don't know Jesus, we'll give you an opportunity to come this morning. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Let's all find us a place to pray, church. We all need to pray. Ask God to change. Help him to, you can see him and change those things about you that need to be changed.